This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Baruch HaBoim. Tonight, Shir, we want to thank the Zakheim Mishpacha for sponsoring all the Shirim on Sefer Shemois. Le'iloi Nishmas, Rav Shlomo Eliezer ben Harav Yaakov Zakheim, and Le'iloi Nishmas, Rivka Bas Tovia Halevi, the Nesham Shavon Alibi, Melitza Yesharim, for their whole family, Abiyas Goel Tzedek. Also, tonight's Shir should be Le'iloi Nishmas. Le'iloi Nishmas, Brina Leah Bas Rav Avigdor Yaakov Halevi, whose yard site is this evening, the mother of Rav Chaim Zeman. Tehei Nishmas Tzura B'Tzor HaChaim. Okay, Shalom Aleichem, everyone. I would like to focus on an inyan at the end of Parshas Tetzaveh. We know Parshas Truma speaks about the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan. First we speak about the Aroin, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Mishkan itself, the Uriyos, the Krashim. That's Parshas Truma. And Parshas Tetzaveh speaks about the Big Day Kahuna, the garments the Kohen Gadol wears when he does the Avodah. Then the end of the Parsha talks about the Chanukah of the Mishkan, the inauguration of the Mishkan, and the Parsha concludes with a description of how to build the Mizbeach HaZahav, the golden Mizbeach. So that seems to be out of place, because the Mizbeach is one of the Kelim, so it should be in Truma, not in Tetzaveh. The Mizbeach was a Kli. The way the Ramban asked the Kasha is the Mizbeach was one of the Kelim HaPnimim, it's one of the inner Kelim. It belongs with the menorah and the shulchan. So really, it should be in Parshas Truma the Aroin, followed by the menorah, the shulchan, and the Mizbeach HaKetores. And yet, somehow, some reason, after the discussion of the Big Day Kahuna, after the discussion of the Chanukah, then we discuss, the Torah describes how to build the Mizbeach HaKetores. Haloi Davarhu, what's the reason for that? Why is it out of order? It's like completely out of order. Okay, that's the question for tonight. Another thing you need to know is that in Parshas Truma, the Ramban Shita is, there is Mukdam and Mu'uchar, right? But even Rashi, who says Ein Mukdam and Mu'uchar, nevertheless, we're entitled to ask that it's out of place. You know, Ein Mukdam and Mu'uchar means chronologically the way things happened and not necessarily the way it's written in the Torah. But Parshas Truma is about the Kelim, Parshas Tetzaveh is about the Big Day Kahuna. Why is the description of the Mizbeach HaZahav in Tetzaveh should be in Truma? So let's begin with a very important observation of the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. Last Monday we discussed that Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the Beis HaMikdash, he added to the Aroin. Moshe Rabbeinu's Aroin had 2 Kruvim, Shlomo's Aroin had 4 Kruvim. Besides the 2 Kruvim on top of the Kaporos, he had 2 Kruvim on the sides of the Kodesh HaKadoshim overlooking. And that we discussed last week. In the times of Shlomo, they needed extra hachzakas ha-Torah, extra support of the Torah. Shlomo also made extra shulchanos and extra menorahs. But he didn't dispose of the shulchan and the menorah and the aron that Moshe Rabbeinu made. And yet, if you look in Sefer Malachim, Shlomo HaMelech took Moshe's golden altar, and he buried it, and he made his own golden altar. How could he do such a thing? Why did Shlomo HaMelech do that? This, in fact, is the question of Rashi. Rashi in Sefer Melachim is very troubled. In Melachim Aleph, Perek Vav, Pasuk Chaf, Rashi is bothered, Tmi ani v'shal Moshe, lama nignas? Why did Shlomo bury the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu? That's the question that the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh deals with. And if you take a look at number 1, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh is found in Parshas Truma, Perek Chav Hei, Pasuk Tes. He's going on the Pasuk, V'chein Ta'asu, and so should you make it, which seems like the way you make it here in the Mishkan is the way it needs to be made for all time. And the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh points out that the shulchan and the menorah that Moshe made, it's a machloikes if Shlomo HaMelech only used the ones that Moshe made, or he also used the ones that he added. But there's no question the ones that Moshe made were used. There's just a question whether he also used the ones that he made. But when it comes to the Mizbeach HaZahav, it's a davar muskam that he hid the Mizbeach of Moshe and he only used his own Mizbeach. How could he do such a thing? Says Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, what allowed Shlomo to sort of dispose of Moshe's Mizbeach and only use the Mizbeach he made is the fact that the Torah is oiker, the discussion of the Mizbeach HaKetoiras. He does not discuss it in Parshas Chuma and only discusses it in Parshas Tetzaveh. That indicates the kelim that are discussed in Parshas Chuma are v'chein ta'asu l'doirois. Those are the kelim that have to be used for all time. Then Parshas Tetzaveh talks about the Big Day Kahuna that needs to be used for all time. Then Hashem tells Moshe, you make this Mizbeach HaKetoiras of these dimensions in this oifen, but it's not ma'akev for the rest of the Mishkan. In other words, look in the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, V'nira ki ha-Torah rimza ha-davar. The Torah is merames. B'masha akra seder mitzvahs mizbeach ha-zahav mimakam shahayaroi l'tzavayselav. The fact that the Torah uproots the arrangement of mizbeach ha-zahav from the place that it should have spoken about it, because first it talks about the Aroin, which is penimi penimiim, and then the kapoyres, and then the shulchan, and then the menorah, and then the mishkan, the urios, and the krashim, and the mizbeach hachitzain, and then the chotzer, and then the shemen, and then the mizbeach hazav. Says Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, v'yesh b'zeh hargosha gedoyla b'shino gadol gazeh. This should give you a very strong sense that clearly the mizbeach hazav is of a different level of importance than all the other kelim. And the indication here is that you don't have to follow the ingredients and the instructions mentioned in Parshas Tetzaveh when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so that's the approach of the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. Again, we don't exactly know why Shlomo felt he needed to, but he felt he was allowed to based on the fact that it's not even discussed here, and maybe even more. Shlomo studied the Psukim. The fact that it's not discussed in Shuma, that implies that it was only a command for that time, and it's sort of a signal to him that he needs to make a different kind of Mizbeach. And then, so in other words, once Shlomo had license to make the Mizbeach different, so Beroiv Chachmasai, and through his Nevuah, he realized that it needed to be different for his Beis HaMikdash. That's the approach of the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. By the way, regards for Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. Just was zeicha to be on Mount of Olives, and Baruch Hashem, he's right there being Melitz Yosher for Klal Yisrael. Okay, that is the approach of the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. There is an amazing sefer written by one of the Rishonim, just on the secrets of the dimensions of the Mishkan. The name of the sefer, you should be familiar with this. Name of a Rishon is the Shultei Giboirim. And he also is bothered, why did Shlomo remove the Mizbeach HaKetoiras that Moshe Rabbeinu made and made his own? And if you're going to say, why, in other words, well, Shlomo thought his Mizbeach is better than the Mizbeach of Moshe, and if he hid Moshe's with the other kelim that he was Ganaz, why did he do that? He should have used the kli of Moshe Rabbeinu. So speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, on Monday, no, on, what's today? Yesterday, on Zayin Adar, I went to the Maros HaMachpelah. Yesterday, I stood by the Cave of the Patriarchs. Say, okay, that's very nice. What does that have to do with Zayin Adar? Ayin B'Yalkut Ruveni, that even though traditionally we believe Abraham, Adam and Chava, Yitzchak and Sarah, Yaakov and Leah, Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah. Also, by the way, I saw Esav's head. He also sends regards. There's a spot. The Yaakov Reveni says, Moshe Rabbeinu is buried in Maros HaMachpelah. It says, Lo Yada Ishas Kfurasai. That means, originally where he was buried, nobody knows where he was, but he has an underground cave from his burial spot to the Maros HaMachpelah, and he goes back and forth. So I was at Moshe's Makam Kvura on Zayin Adar. I didn't plan it. Now, the other thing was, what?
Rashi says, right, Kiryas Arba, for Zvugim.
Well, Adam and Chava.
Right.
So yeah.
Saying how is Moshe buried there? He's not part of that.
He's not. He's only at certain times. Like, you know, people rent in Eretz Yisrael for a couple months a year. He has.
He's and a welcome visitor.
Yeah, he has rights. You know, visiting rights. Another interesting thing is the night before, Monday night, which is still Zayin Adar, I was in Tzfas by the Arizal's kever. The Arizal was a nitzutz of Moshe Rabbeinu. So on Zayin Adar, I was by the Arizal in Tzfas and by the Maras HaMachpelah. Okay. So anyway, the Shulta Giborim asked this question also. Why did Shlomo HaMelech, so you say, I was not at Shlomo HaMelech's kever. Why? Anyway, so the Shulta Giborim asks, why did Shlomo hide the Mizbeach of Moshe? Why would he do such a thing? And he says, a davar oyem enoira. And this I heard on a tape many, many years ago. This goes back about 10 years ago. There's a man in Queens by the name of Rabbi Milton Nordlecht, who has the sole rights on the tapes of Rabbi Soloveitchik and Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, who's a rabbi in England. He came from Ireland. Rabbi Bernstein's tapes are the best shiurim I ever heard on Chumash. It wasn't about 10 years ago. So I once heard him quote the Shulta Giborim to answer Achaim's Kasha. Now, I gave this shiur this morning. I haven't seen Mr. Milton Nordlecht maybe in close to 10 years. I turned on the shiur this morning on the Zoom. Mr. Milton Nordlich's on the share. I said, how do you know? He said, you know, these things happen. Anyway, you remember him? You know who he is, Mr. Schultz?
Yes.
Okay. So, anyway, the Shulta Giborim.
He used to come to Parsons?
No, he's
another Milton, I think.
He's a young Israel of Qarn Hills. Anyway, the Shulta Giborim asks this Kasha. He says an amazing aside. The Pasuk says, Ki loy vasem ad ata el ha-menucha v'el ha-nachala. We know the Beis HaMikdash is called Menucha and Nachala. It means the Beis HaMikdash is a place of respite and inheritance. Which means when you go to the Beis HaMikdash, you need to feel permanence, settled, that this is where it's at, this is our home, this is our settled area. That means the kelim need to infuse you with the feeling that we're here for good, unless, chas v'shalom, we ever have to go into Golis, but we're not going to be traveling and on the run. Now, wait a second, but all the kelim have rings and poles. Rings and poles means we go here, we go there, we go there, we're on to this place, we make this stop, we make that stop, but that's antithetical to menucha and nachala. So therefore, the Mishkan, which did not have to be Menucha and Nachala, could have rings and poles. But the Beis HaMikdash was not allowed to have rings and poles because the Pasuk says Menucha and Nachala. Menucha and Nachala means permanence, not on the move. So the question, though, is, in that case, so therefore, Shlomo HaMelech, he sees the Mizbeach of Moshe, and he sees it as rings and he has poles. So what's he going to do? Take a saw and chisel it off? He can't do that to Moshe's Mizbeach. So what he has to do is he has to make a new Mizbeach without poles and without rings. And then he had no choice but to bury the Mizbeach of Moshe. So you say, okay, but what about the Aroin? What about all the Kel? The Aroin, the Shulta Gibarim says, there's a lav in the Torah. B'taba ois haroin yiyu habadim lo yasuru minen. There's a lav. So he couldn't take it off. Menucha and nachalo, it's not like an assay. It's just a hashkafa. So b'taba ois haroin yiyu habadim lo yasuru minenu could not be violated by the Aroin. So by the Aroin, Shlomo had no choice. So he had to keep the Aroin. But the Mizbeach, where there's no lav to remove the poles, he's not going to cut them off, he's not going to hack them off. But he made a new one without tabois and without badim. So the question though is, so why didn't he make a new shulchan? He should have made a new shulchan. And that is the obvious question on the Shulta Giborim, that according to him, that the reason why Shlomo HaMelech made a new Mizbeach is to be able to be mekayim el amnucha ve'el anachala, so why didn't he make a new shulchan? So I heard from Rabbi Isaac Bernstein.
And a new Aron, too.
So the Aron, he couldn't do it because the Aron has to have poles and rings. The Torah says, B'taboi sa Aron, yu habadim lo yasuru mimenu.
What about the Shulchan?
Oh, good kasha. The question is, what about the Shulchan?
Why
Why didn't he make a new shulchan? Yeah, Avadi can remove it.
Why is that allowed to be removed?
That the Torah says. There's no gzeres hakasa that you can't take out the poles of the shulchan. So if the reason he made a mizbeach without poles is because elam nuchav al nachla, so he should have made a shulchan without poles. So Rabbi Bernstein quoted a beautiful gemara at the end of Masechta Megillah. The gemara says about the shulchan. It says in the Torah in Parashat Truma, the shulchan is shulchan hatahar. Shulchan tahar means it's able to become tameh, but it happens to be tahar. So Gemara says, why is a shulchan able to become tamei? Any wooden kli that's meant to be in one place and not moved cannot be mekabel tumah. So why is the shulchan able to be mekabel tumah? Says Gemara in Chagiga, the shulchan is not meant to be in one place. Melame, the Gemara in Chagiga says, shemagbiyin oisa, you lift up the shulchan. Umarin b'loyle regolim lechem aponim, we would show those who would visit the temple for the festivals, the Oile Regalim, we would show them the Shulchan and we say, Re'u chibaschem lefnei amakam, look how much God loves you. So let's say you would come to be Oile Regal, so you'd go up to the Beis HaMikdash, and they would invite you inside, and they would open up the Heichal, you couldn't go inside the Heichal, and they would bring the Shulchan to the edge of the door, and you would see this piping hot bread. You say, wow, just out of the oven? You say, no. Well, an hour ago? You know, like when you go into the pizza store, you go, you see on the table, there's a slice there. It looks like from 3 years ago. You say, you have anything fresh? Yeah, this. Right? Everyone said, this. So, this? Yeah, it just came out of the oven. Right? They ever tell you that? It just came out of the oven. It looks like it was made like last Yovel. No, just came. But in the Beis HaMikdash, the bread was piping hot. It looked like it might have just came out of the oven. It come out yesterday? No. 7 days ago. So we would tell the Oilei Regalim, look how much Ribbono Shel Olam loves you. Look at this miracle that he's doing. Yeah? So Rabbi Yo Gutmacher asks, here we have Oilei Regalim. We could have shown them a whole host of miracles. We could have showed them the smoke going straight up from the Mizbeach. And you know, this Hurricane Katrina is coming and the smoke is going up, straight up. Or we could have showed them meat lying everywhere with no flies. We could have showed them all kinds of miracles. What's the miracle we show them? The lechem aponim. Why do we dafka show them the lechem aponim? So he says a remarkable thing. He says, the Oile Regalim, who knows where they came from, you know, the north. They came from out of the country. They came from the border. And they basically leave their homes. And their enemies are sitting there in their windows, you know, looking with binoculars when the Jew's going to leave. So they could pounce on their property, they could steal their house, they could harm their families. And if you look throughout Chazal, for example, the Gemara in Pesachim says there was a cow on Chesam Abbeis shepherding and no wild animal damaged the cow. And there's a Yalkut in Parshas Kisisa that somebody left the house full of chickens and they came back. And the cats who tried to attack the chickens, the cats were torn apart. Or there was the Gentiles who tried to steal somebody's possession. And the Gentiles saw the owners going back and forth the whole week. And then when the owner came back after Sukkot, they said, you're just coming back now? They said, yeah. So who was there? They realized it was angels in the guise of the owners. So we see all kinds of miracles that God had to perform so that the Oilei Regalim would not be harmed. Now, the other regalim, when they left their homes, they had to say, you know what, I'm leaving my wife here perhaps, leaving my children here, I'm leaving my my possessions, my vaults, my safe, my home, and I have to have emunah that the way I leave it is the way it's going to be preserved until 7 days later. But still, can you imagine how much anxiety they have? They have nice paintings in their homes, they have candelabra, chandelier. Who says the way you leave something will be preserved exactly the same way 7 days later as 7 days ago? So they come into the Beis HaMikdash, says Rabbi Yo Gutmacher, and the miracle they show the Oilei Regalim is, look, with the help of Hashem, you can have something that's left, and 7 days later, it will be exactly the same as the way it was it was put over there. So the miracle of the Lechem Aponim is exactly the same as the miracle of the Oilei Regolim, as Hashem promises, V'lo yachmoid ish es arzucha ba'aloyscha le'ra'is. So says Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, that this would answer our kasha on the Shilta Gebayrim. We asked on the Shilta Gebayrim, so if Shlomo HaMelech made a new Mizbech HaKetoyres, why didn't he make a new Shulchan? Make a Shulchan without Tabois and without Badim. The answer is the Shulchan needs Tabois and Badim. Well, what are we doing with it? I thought you need Menucha and Achala. The answer is we don't need the Tabois and the Badim to move it somewhere. We need it to be able to show the Oilei Regalim. That was the function of the Tabois and the Badim. Now, so it comes out, we have two answers of why the Mizbeach HaKetoyres is mentioned at the end of Parsha Tesava. Answer number one is, it's an indication to Shloimeh that the Mizbeach HaZahav does not, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, does not have to be exactly the same as the Mizbeach HaZahav of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's why it's not mentioned in Parshas Truma. That's the answer of the Archaim HaKadosh. And the answer of the Shulta Giboirim is, L'chaira, that, again, the Shulta Giboirim is not an answer to why it appears in Parshas Tetzaveh, it's merely an answer to why Shlomo HaMelech was able to bury the Mizbeach HaKadosh of Moshe Rabbeinu and to make another one. What's the reason he did that? Because the Mizbeach HaKetoyres of Moshe Rabbeinu gave the impression that it's a temporary kli, and the Beis HaMikdosh had to be Menucha and Nachala. Let's explore another reason. So let's say according to the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. So the Mizbeach HaKetoyres was uprooted from Parshas Truma. Why? To signal to Shlomo HaMelech that the Mizbeach HaKetoyres that he makes in the Beis HaMikdash does not have to be exactly like that of Moshe Rabbeinu. But why Dafka Parshas Tetzaveh? Why is the Mizbeach HaKetoyres mentioned in Parshas Tetzaveh? It could be anywhere. You know, I understand it's not in Truma, but why in Tetzaveh? What's the connection to Tetzaveh? So look in the Sfarno, number 5. The Sfarno says something very interesting. He says that the Torah does not mention the Mizbeach with the other Kelim in Parshas Truma. Why? Because the purpose of the Kelim of the Mishkan is to engender Hashras Hashchina, like the Pasuk says, V'shachanti b'soicham, V'asuli mikdash, V'shachanti b'soicham, K'chol asher ani mare oischa, Eis tavnis ha-mishkan, V'eis tavnis kol kelav. So that means the purpose, the Sfarno reads, God says, make for me a Mishkan, Vasli Mikdash V'chanti B'soicham, in accordance with everything I show you, the Mishkan and the Kelim, in other words, the purpose of the Kelim is to bring down Hashras Hashchina. And the purpose of the Mizbeach HaKetoyres was not to bring down Hashras Hashchina. It was not to bring down the Kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Mishkan like the Karbanos was. What was the purpose of the Mizbeach? The purpose of the Mizbeach was L'chabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The purpose of the Mizbeach HaKetoyres was to bring honor to Hashem after Hashem accepts the Karbanos Beratzon, and the morning and the evening, we know after the Tamid Shalbein Ho'arbayim, they brought the Ketoyres. Why? The purpose of the Ketoyres is, Hashem, you accepted all our Avodah of the day, we want to honor you now. We want to bring you pleasure now. Like Havu Hashem Kavoid Shemai Se'u Mincha. We want to bring Kavoid to Hashem. So Parshas Truma is dedicated to that which brings down Hashras Hashchina. Parshas Tetzaveh is dedicated to the Avodah. And then once the Avodah is done, then we want to bring honor to Hashem. We want to bring him Kavoid. So therefore, we are Makdir the Ketoyres. So since its objective is different than that of Truma, it's in a different Parsha. So I just want to make one humble Hoysafa. According to the Sfarno, the purpose of the Mizbeach HaKetoyres is to do what? To bring Kavoid. So I think then it's very appropriate that it should appear in the Parsha of the Big Day Kahuna. After all, the Parsha of the Big Day Kahuna begins, V'asu Big Day Kodesh La'aroin Achicha L'Chavoid. So the purpose of the Big Day Kahuna is to bring God Kavod, and the purpose of the Ketores was to bring God Kavod, and therefore perhaps these two subjects are juxtaposed to each other. So I want to share with you very briefly the approach of the Meshech Chachma and Rabbi Shmuel Leib Diskin. The Meshech Chachma brings Ibn Ezra, who asks, why isn't the Mizbech HaKtaris discussed in Parshas Chuma? And he says a halachic nekuda. He says all the other kelim of the Mishkan, let's say the Aron, if you don't have an Aron, let's say the Aron is lost, let's say in the time of the Second Temple, they didn't have the Aron. Could you put the luchais on the floor in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the makam of the Aron? No. It has to be in the Aron. The place is not significant, it's the kli. Or, without a mizbeach, could you be makriv the carbon tamid shel shachar? No. Or, without the begodim, could you do the avoida? No. Let's say you don't have a menorah, could you put the candles down on the floor and light them? No. All, everything mentioned in Truma and the beginning of Tetzaveh are ma'akev. But the mizbeach miktar ketores, which that was its chief function, the mizbeach miktar ketores was not ma'akev. If you don't have Mizbeach Ketores, Rav is of the opinion, Mizbeach Shenekar Maktirin Ketores B'Mekoymai. Therefore, since you don't need the Mizbeach to be Makter the Ketores, after it finishes talking about the whole subject of the Kalim and the Binyonim that are Ma'akev, that if you don't have them, you can't do that Avoida, the Torah basically says, okay, let me tell you about another project. This project is not as critical because if you don't have this Mizbeach, you could still be Makter the Ketores. So that's why it's discussed last. The Aron, without an Aron, you can't have Luchais. Without a Shulchan, you can't have Lechem upon him. Without a Menorah, you can't light Neirois. Without the Mizbeach, you can't bring a Karban Oila. But without the Mizbeach HaKetores, you can be Makter Ketores. And therefore, Lekach, Ksiv, Basar, Dehishlam, Kol Adinim, from the Kelim and the Binyanim that are Muchroch to teach, making the Mizbeach is only a mitzvah, Bifnei Atzma, but is not needed to be makter the Ketores. By the way, Rabbi Shmuel Leib Diskin says the same thing. He says the reason why it delayed writing it here is because it's not ma'akev, because we paskin mizbeach shenekar maktirin ketores b'mekoymai. However, he adds one nekuda. How do we know what the makom is? One time you need to build the mizbeach to establish the makom, and then after that, you're able to bring the Ketores even though the mizbeach is not present. Now, in the Midbar, they went from place to place to place to place to place. So in the Midbar, every time they moved somewhere, they had to build the Mizbeach HaKetores to sanctify the Makom there. And once it was sanctified, they could be Makter the Ketores. That's why it's called Mizbeach Makter Ketores, but not Lihakter Ketores. Because you don't need it Lihakter Ketores. It's just the Mizbeach that you're Makter Ketores on. But you're not going to call it Mizbeach Lehakter, because even without the Mizbeach, you could be Makter. It's just the Mizbeach that is the Makam that you're Makter Ketores. The Chida basically says, by the way, regards from the Chida says that the reason why the Torah is Ma'acher, the discussion of the Mizbeach HaKetores, after everything, Timurame Siddhistin, that the Mizbeach HaPnimi Im nekar mimakoymoy, it is not ma'akev. Then the Chida quotes some other interesting answers. Part of the process of inaugurating the Mishkan was being makter ketores. That was the process of the chinuch of the Mishkan. Therefore, in Parshas Tetzaveh, which discusses the inauguration of the Mishkan, it delays discussing the Mizbeach HaKetores until we get up to Tetzaveh, because part of the inauguration process of the Mishkan was bringing Ketores. So the Torah doesn't want to discuss it twice. It discusses the Mizbeach HaKetores and the HaKetores Ketores in the context of the Chinuch of the Mishkan, because that was one of the functions of the Chinuch. Another answer is that this Mizbeach is Mechaper. The Mizbeach was Mechaper, and it juxtaposed the Kapara of the Kohanim and the Bigdei Kuhuna to the Kapara of the Mizbeach. And another thing is, when are you Makter the Ketores? What time of the day? After the Tamar Chol Ben Harbayim. So in Tetzaveh, it talks about the Tamar Chol Shachar and the Tamar Chol Ben Harbayim, and that's why it waits to discuss the Haktaras Ketores, so that you understand the time frame to bring the Ketores is after the Tamid Chol Ben Harbayim. That is the another answer of the Chida. By the way, the Shas Tshuvas Halachas Ketanois of Rav Moshe Chagiz, he offers these reasons as well. First, he says that the Gemara in Zvachim tells us that if the Mizbeach was Ne'ekar, you can't bring Karbonos, but the Mizbeach HaPnimi, it's not Ma'akev, and you could bring Ketores in a pan. Therefore, since we don't need the Mizbeach HaKetores, it speaks about it last. Secondly, he says that just like Koyhanim are Mechaper, the Ketores is Mechaper, therefore it's juxtaposed the Mizbeach to the Big Day Kahuna, and then he brings the other answer of the Chida that we're Mechanich, the Mizbeach Hazav, with Ketores, therefore mentions it in the context of the Chinuch of the Mishkan, and furthermore, it's only brought in the end of the day, after the Tamid Shal Ben Harbayim, so it's written after the Haktaras Tamid Shal Ben Harbayim. We'll end off with the reasoning of the Gra. We said that the bringing of the Ketores is a kapara. Now the beginning of Kisisa talks about the ingredients of the Ketores, and it also talks about the Machzis HaShekel. And what's the purpose of Machzis HaShekel? V'nasata es kesef ha-kipurim. The Machzis HaShekel is mechaper on Kal Yisrael. It's a kapara. So therefore, the Torah juxtaposes the kapara of the Ketores to the kapara of the Machzis HaShekel because they're both forms of kapara. In other words, says the Gra, the kelim of the Mishkan and the Big Day Kahuna and the Hakravas, Hakarbanois, is to elicit Hashras HaShechina. And Hashem says through the building of the kelim, I'm going to be Shoich in the Shechina. But afterwards, you need kapara. The kapara is achieved through the ketores and through the Machzis HaShekel. And therefore, the Torah juxtaposes the subject of the ketores to the Machzis HaShekel in order to put adjacent to each other these two items of atonement. Okay, Rabbi Isai, wish everyone a wonderful evening. Bracha v'atzlacha. And we'll see you, Bez Hashem, next Wednesday. Kol tov, everyone. Bye-bye. Baruch
Tia. So, Rabbi, how many Mizbachim was there? One for the Ketoret and one for the Korbanot?
Yeah.
So how many?
Two.
But it was different from the Korbanot, so they didn't have a dedicated Mizbach?
Yeah, they had a dedicated for the Korbanot.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.